League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The city is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right. Now, I know this is a soccer show, but tonight, all hail to the Houston Astros and their World Series win over the LA Dodgers. How about this? You knock out Boston, you knock out New York, then the Dodgers. You're talking about historic clubs there. And even Sandy Koufax being at the game wasn't good enough for LA. Seventh game karma. You can't. I don't know. I don't know baseball. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I do. I'm not going to pretend that I watch the Astros all year long. I watch an occasional game. I will tell you, I was thoroughly enthralled by the personalities of the players, the humility, the passion, the respect with which they play the game. And how about how great this is for Houston, Texas? By the way, after the game, when their family members are being introduced, that was pretty telling to me as well. A lot of humility out there, and I love that. So does A.J. Hoffman. We all like humility on occasion. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, streaming at ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Twitter, on the heels of the Blitz, Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman. It's always tough to live up to it, but we'll take your phone calls. Even if you want to say something about the Astros and what it means to the city or what it meant to you, platform is open. Poster comment at Facebook, Soccer Matters. Victor Arise has got us going on Facebook Live here shortly. We've got a good program here tonight. We got Stu Holden on the show. We'll talk with him about a number of things, including the MLS playoffs and the Houston Dynamo and Portland Timbers. Stu and I have had the opportunity to call a couple of national broadcasts for Fox recently. So he will be on the show. Fox soccer analyst, former Newcastle defender. We will have Warren Barton on the program. We'll talk a little bit about Manchester City and Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola haters are going to be ready to eat a bit of crow, I think. It's always interesting to see the desire of so many to see Pep Guardiola fail in England. He's got a year behind him now. We see him subtly changing things to his benefit. But Manchester City winning in the Champions League over Napoli, Spurs smacking Cristiano Ronaldo and Real Madrid 3-1. By the way, for all you Real Madrid fans in Houston, that was a comprehensive win. There's no excuses. They won that game hands down in every facet and in every category. Let's talk the Champions League. On the Dynamo front, they travel to Portland this weekend for the second leg of the Western Conference semifinals. Sunday, they'll take on the Timbers. Head over to the King's Court for the watch party. I'm planning on being there to partake. It's Sunday, 6:30 at the King's Court near the stadium. And if you're in West University, you're not going to make it down to Edo, then go to the Gorgeous Gale and say hello to Peter. The Dynamo's still in this, and you need to consider the road goal situation as well. 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, Dynamo advance. A lot of possibilities for them. Can you imagine if they get the road goal first? Portland is reeling. Injury problems. Adi likely still out. Darlington Nagbe went down injured in the first leg. Also, their defender, Mabiaba, went down injured. And then, of course, the worst one was fifth metatarsal, broken foot, Diego Chara, who is that piece of their midfield that allows others to attack. It's a guy that runs for two men. So big problems for Portland. And with this all stirred up going to Portland, I think the pressure's on the Portland Timbers. They were number one in the Western Conference, but things have taken on a whole different look here. And with the loss of Char, it's huge. Now, the Houston Dynamo got problems of their own. Tyler Derrick suspended by the league for allegedly headbutting his girlfriend, according to news reports. This is a very serious situation. It's troubling, and I would say it's alleged, and I would say you can't jump to conclusions, but the process will probably bring us a lot more details in this eventually as to what happened here. Very sad, tragic time for that to happen. And this is after a guy becomes MLS's player of the month. Think about that. In a league full of hundreds and hundreds of players, he's a number one player in the league, and this happens. So, pretty sad occurrence. Joe Willis will be in goal. Good news is Joe Willis has played in big games before. Bad news is Joe Willis hasn't had a lot of games lately. So, a lot of dynamics going on there for the Dynamo. Hopefully the Dynamo are going to get arrested a little bit more heading to this one. They will leave on, a charter tomorrow to Portland. So, Derek was suspended by Major League Soccer pending investigation. This happened early Tuesday morning. So, this was after the Dynamo first game. He was arrested and charged with a misdemeanor assault of a family member in connection to an alleged domestic incident. So, right there, there's a lot of nebulous area. What does all that mean? I don't think we know. He posted a $1,000 bond. He was released from jail. He'll go to court on Tuesday, but he can't play. Suspended from team activities, including working out. The league is going to conduct its own investigation. Dynamo put a statement out that they take this very seriously. And the rest will kind of play out. And there has been some previous incidents, including one in 2015, where, sadly, Tyler Derrick was arrested 12 days later. The woman eventually dropped the charges after showing up to court, consenting to a video recorded on a cell phone, which she made up the detail, which she said she made up in the details of a police report. In the video, she said she was mad at Derek at the time, felt bad she put him in that position. So this is a very convoluted situation here. But the fact is, for the Dynamo, he will not play on Sunday. So it's going to go down to Joe Willis. First link, do you have any thoughts on it? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Thoughts on the Dynamo Portland? Thoughts on the Astros winning the World Series? Thoughts on Tottenham Hotspur and their 3-1 win over Real Madrid? Manchester United 2-0 over Benfica in the Champions League? Roma absolutely dismantling Chelsea? Bayern beating Celtic 2-1 at Celtic Park? A lot to talk about here. But make no mistake, the Portland Timbers have got serious injury problems heading into this game on Sunday. And the Dynamo hopefully can catch a second wind. Now, Portland absolutely shut down the Dynamo wide game. In fact, there was a total of 4 shots on goal in the game. So it was a game devoid of chances. It was a game that did not have very many exciting moments. Not to beat on this, but the field for this match was unacceptable. It was criticized heavily around the country by a number of different pundits. It's inexcusable. The field has had a heavy load. I remember one time in recent times it had 3 games in a row. Now, at what point does the integrity of the team, the players, and the league come into place? Because when you're saying you're going to be a league that wants to be like the Premier League, well, look at their fields every week in and week out. And I understand there has to be a revenue stream at this stadium from concerts, from other events. But at some point, you got to decide if you're going to take every event that comes your way and the dollars, and it's worth it for what happened last night or on Monday night. Looked horrible on TV. I do believe in the end it hurt the Dynamo from a competitive standpoint. And here's how it hurt the Dynamo from a competitive standpoint. Because it wasn't a very good field, I think it made the Portland Timbers decide, you know what? It's not really about trying to win here in Houston. Trying to get out of here decent from a health standpoint, get out of here with a draw. If we can sneak a road goal, yes. But I think it hurt the Dynamo from a competitive standpoint. And I'll argue that. And by the way, they lost three players to injury, and I'm not saying that was the field. Could be possibly on the injury to Diego Chara. But I don't think it had anything to do with Mabiaba or Darlington Nagbe. But it was troubling. And you know, when managers of both teams are criticizing it, when players are coming out to criticize it, it's a problem. And nobody should get sensitive about it. It's all about trying to create solutions. Yes, I know. Texas Southern plays there as well. But it's very difficult from a credibility standpoint when your team takes a field that the surface is like that. And there's been criticism. No question about it. All right. So, again, the Dynamo on the road in Portland. And I actually think the way this game is stirred up with all the injuries and all the differing things and storylines that are going on, especially the injury situation in Portland, I think that favors the Houston Dynamo going to Portland. Sebastian Blanco, I saw a picture. This is a guy with 8 goals, 8 assists. Big offseason signing for Portland. I saw a picture of his foot. The entire layer, first layer of his skin was burned off. I don't know the full story, but it was boiling water. My assumption is he was cooking in his kitchen, was barefoot. I don't know. That's my assumption. And spilled boiling water on his foot. I don't know how he's going to be ready to play because, first of all, for that to heal in the area on the top of the foot it is, and the bending and all that, you almost have to be immobilized. So we'll see if he's even a part of it. It's a huge loss for them. David Guzman did not play in Houston. Huge loss for them. And these were the two big off-season signings that I think put the Portland Timbers over the top. By the way, those that are watching on Facebook, thank you very much for tuning in tonight. We appreciate it. We've got Ross Smith of the Portland Timbers coming up to talk the Timbers angle here shortly. We've got Steve Davis coming up at about 7:40, 7:45. We'll get their takes. Stuart Holden, Warren Barton, Jaleel Anibaba. I'm going to ask Jaleel about the situation with Tyler Derrick and how that's affected the team. He will be on the program as well. So no clear chances in that game. 713-780-3776 if you've got something to say. Two controversial penalty calls, one of which was reversed by the use of the video assistant by referee Robert Sabiga. Both could clearly have been penalties to me from what I saw. I saw Laris Mabiala with an awkward challenge, a challenge he shouldn't have went into on Elise. I saw him scissor him at the end of that play. Could have been a penalty. And then I saw Tyler Derrick with Darren Maddox going away from goal. Looked like he made contact with his hands and his arms on the legs of Maddox, who went down and was shocked that he didn't get a call. So total of 4 shots on goal. Surface, an issue. Recognized around the country. $195 million stadium needs to have a surface that lives up to that. TSU football, 3 straight soccer matches recently. Dynamo Charities Cup against Cruz Azul, Mexican League, then El Salvador, Canada. I don't know what it is. I'm not an expert, but it is a problem. And I hope it can be solved because the credibility of the club and the league are at stake. And if we're saying anything otherwise, then we're just trying to sweep it under the carpet and hope people forget. I'm all about the integrity of the game. And I understand that these teams have to make a profit and have to make money, and there is some level of survival. I don't know the books. Sometimes I wonder. But my point is, at some point, you got to really look to balance that out. And the stadium wouldn't have gotten done without TSU's involvement. I think we all know that. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. Let's take a quick break here. We've got more to come tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Quick break, Liberty Kitchen. Okay, so they've got a number of locations throughout Houston. Good friend Carl Eves over there, Lance Fegan, the executive chef who comes up with all the ideas. Liberty Kitchen is a great place. Seafood, steaks, they got you covered. Great spirits, great beer. You got Liberty Kitchen Oysterette, which is right here in and around the Galleria area. You got the new beer garden over in Garden Oaks. That's a great spot to get to. We'll take your phone calls at 713-780-3776. That first segment brought to you by the Liberty Kitchen, and our thanks for their support of the show. And our thanks to the Houston Astros. A group of guys that really, I think, could teach a lot of us lessons. The humility, the passion for the game. Nobody one-upping anybody. Let's hope it stays that way. But it was a real family feel to that win. Kind of reminded me of those early Dynamo teams where the guys were out in the community. And they were certainly very conscious, the Astros, of what went on here in Houston, what this could mean to people. And their psyche, and sports does that in a way that a lot of things can't. And it did it with the Houston Astros. I had so much fun. Listen, I was a bandwagon guy. I jumped on in the playoffs. I'm going to admit that. But they made a statement buying Verlander. They made a statement with the way they went about it. I love the way the manager mixed analytics along with just his gut instinct and his eye test. How can you not be enthralled with the personalities of the Springers, the Altuves, and these guys going through this? So big thank you to the Houston Astros. Great fun. Proud to be a bandwagoner. But you know what? Because of that performance and what they did, I'm going to watch more Astros in the future. 100%. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Somebody bring me some takes here tonight at 713-780-3776. Show me some passion.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, you got to love that. Producer Tyler Scott pulling that out because we were down at the big Super Bowl bash. We saw ZZ Top. We saw Gary Clark Jr. I think we're tight with the Gary Clark Jr. family, aren't we?
Maybe.
I think Gary liked us.
We need to try and get him in studio.
I think Gary liked us. Yeah, actually, the story is this. We were at a table just chatting with some really nice people, and we find out it's Gary Clark Jr.'s parents and his sister, and then we're watching, obviously, him performing, and then he comes out to see his family, and we got to converse with him, and a very nice guy, an incredible bluesman, incredible talent as we watch ZZ Top. So that's why ZZ Top came on. 713-780-3776. To the phone lines we go, and George. George, thank you for coming on the program tonight.
Hey, thanks for the show. I'm a little nervous. Don't call on the radio a lot, but hey, props to you for standing up and admitting your bandwagoner for the Houston Astros. What a great time to be an Astro fan and a sports fan in Houston. And I kind of have a bone to pick with the Houston Dynamo, if I may.
The platform is yours.
All right, sir. So what a great opportunity, right, to jump on this. There's another team like the Houston Dynamo making the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs in, what, 4 years? I just think that these guys just come in and then just check in at the office, and they just go about their business. There's been some great opportunities for them to go out in the community. They got La Panterita right now. They got some characters on this team. The team is obviously playing well. At least they're playing exciting soccer here at home. it just seems like they're in the playoffs right now and nobody knows about it. Nobody talks about them. And I know you're close to them because obviously you do play-by-play. And I don't know if other fans feel that way. Obviously, they got to feel it at the box office. A lot of season ticket holders have not renewed it. And I get it. The product wasn't there. But then you run into stuff like the field and, you know, I go to the game and it's just everybody is just catatonic. You know, just they look like they go through the motions. They just don't care. And I don't know that if that's something that is ingrained in this organization, whether they feel that having won 10 years ago, my God, it's been 12 years since they've won, is something that's going to carry them for the next two decades. I don't know. I think I'm just a little upset that they're not capitalizing on somewhat of a good product. And
I think it's been. Let me just stop you there, because when you're not doing well and you haven't made the playoffs, the first thing is revamping the product. And I think they did an outstanding job of that. And I think the team. Listen, I feel it when I go to call the games. It was tough the last couple of years, and quite a number of years, quite frankly. It's been tough, and. Now there's personalities out there that's been assembled. Now there are people that take people on, like Elise and Kyoto, that make the game interesting. So I think from that standpoint, it's been a wonderful job. Yeah, I would like to see Albert Elise and La Pantherita promoted more. But the question is he coming back? I hope in the future the Dynamo can maybe understand that transparency and really going and moving the needle in that direction can engage their fans. And I think that's a league thing, too. That being ultra-transparent and being up front and owning it is great for creating a relationship with fans and growing your fan base. I think people care. I think people care. I don't question the caring. But at times, you do have to say, let's be more transparent, because this is what people want. Why were we attached to the Houston Astros? Why did I get into this? Because I saw some of their personalities. I said, man, these guys are young. These guys are ambitious. They're passionate. They recognize and respect the game of baseball. Now, we'll see if that all stays after winning a World Series, right? Because everybody's probably knocking on the door for a bigger contract. Who knows? But these guys just seemed so humble, so connected, and so passionate about playing the sport that you had to be interested to watch them play. I couldn't care if they were playing a violin. If they did it with passion, they're going to attract me.
I think those are very good points, and I do agree with you on that. But I still think that the Dynamo as an organization has to do more for the city, for the community, for the fans, and maybe the transparency that you mentioned is the word that needs to be used. But to me, it just looks like they're disconnected. And this is a great opportunity that comes around very so seldomly when you got the Astros playing in October, November. Here we are back in the playoffs with the Houston Dynamo. And I just don't think that they have taken advantage of this whole opportunity. And, you know, ironically, or
yeah, but listen, George, you're also not just waiting for moments. You know, you take advantage of opportunities like getting into the playoffs with what you do throughout the year. And it's tough. And I think people are disappointed. More people didn't show up to Dynamo playoff games. And look, yes, they're on odd hours. Yes, the Stros are going. But I think if you're tilling the soil all year long and you're grooming your fan base and, you know, you're working it all year long, then you may reap bigger benefits. I still am a big believer in an inexpensive ticket, and even more inexpensive, and I know they are already, but you're at a point where you got to turn it around. That would engage college students, would engage the cash-paying Liga MX fan. You got to get people into the building. You can't continue to go after the same base of fans. And a lot of the corporate sales ticket people, you know, when you're taking their money, they're not necessarily showing up, and they haven't been.
And that's a complaint. So I think there's a lot of things that can be looked at, and I'm sure they will be. The good news is, to me, it's a success already from a playing standpoint from the team because they got into the playoffs and they have provided entertainment. They set a record scoring more goals than any Dynamo team has ever scored, and they had more home wins than any Dynamo team have ever scored. So you have a basis and a platform to go forward. But new ideas have got to be thrust into the situation.
Good point. Now, about Sunday, what are their chances? How do you think it's going to play out?
I think their chances are great, and I'll tell you why. There's a lot of things stirring around, and we're going to bring on Ross Smith, their color analyst, here after I make a final comment with you, George. I think because this game stirred up because of all the injuries, I think it's you expect the unexpected on Sunday, and I think if things were a little calmer from an injury perspective for the Portland Timbers, I would be saying, look, they're the definite favorites in connection with the Dynamo lineup. But this is a tricky league. An away goal scored could be something that really could shock the system. So we'll see. But I'm about to ask Ross the perspective from Portland. But from where I sit and stand, Dynamo don't have the pressure. The Portland Timbers have the pressure. They usually respond to it at home, without a doubt. They've got an amazing home record. But with the away goals factor there, anything could happen.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. I appreciate it. And if anybody wants to respond to George, 713-780-3776. Look, that type of discussion is healthy. We need more of it about the Houston Dynamo. I encourage you to talk and speak out. There's a lot of good things going on with the Dynamo organization, and there's also a lot of things I think always, as we all know, in all of our work that need to be improved, including myself. So I'll include myself in the category of self-improvement. All right, let's go to the phone line. Ross Smith, color analyst for the Portland Timbers, former professional soccer player, joins us now. Ross, thank you for being patient.
Oh, Glenn, of course. That was a really good, interesting conversation to listen just quietly in the background.
Well, tell me what you thought of it.
Yeah, first, what stands out to me is the passion from your caller, George. And I know you and I have chatted at length, not only with Houston, but around the league, and that passion from fan bases and how it reverberates and how do you get it to catch on and how do you get certain markets going through the turnstiles. And I think, I love, you know, I listen to your show, I love what you do reaching out, and I love that fans have that gateway to be able to communicate with you. And I think it's terrific, and that's where it starts. Obviously, I'm in a market here with the Timbers where people are sleeping outside the stadium three nights before the game, even though they already have tickets.
Unbelievable.
They want to be first into the Timbers army. So there's something that's grown here. There's something that has caught on, and it's the culture that it comes down to. And I heard you say the word passion, and it all stems from there. It's the passion, it's the culture, it's the family environment that's been created, and you hope that it grows in other markets. How you go about doing it, you know, there's so many different ideas, but what I would, and I certainly agree with you, the brand of soccer that's come into Houston Dynamo this year, I would be paying money. If I'm a fan, if I'm not involved on the working side that I am with the league, I'd be paying money to come watch Houston Dynamo.
Oh, I'd have a season ticket. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'd have a season ticket, hands down, and I wouldn't have the last couple of years, but this year I would. I think they've done a miraculous job of turning this roster around. I think they're going to have their hands full because they're going to have to keep Albert Elise. The people love him. The fans that are coming like Elise and the excitement that he brings. They got a lone player in Juan David Cabezas. They have got to keep him, and they got to try to keep Alex as well, I hope. So we'll see. TAM, general allocation money. These are mechanisms that can help you acquire and keep these players. I want to ask you, I use the word transparency because I think in a lot of sports and in business these days, things occur that businesses or organizations are accountable for. And accountability is not always, you know, it's kind of like, hey, you know, if we don't say anything about it, it'll fade away. And I'm not saying that everybody does this, but how transparent are the Portland Timbers? I mean, I know you have access because of who you are and the respect you have from the organization. But how transparent are they when it comes to,
you know, injuries, anything going on with the club? Because I got to think up in your market with local media and how you guys are covered and the demands of the fans that they have to be. Merrick Paulson, the organization has to be transparent.
Yeah, I entirely agree. And, you know, there's going to be so many depths, obviously, that I'm not privy to on the inside in the front office, what goes on. But that is one thing I would say with the Timbers is that connection with the fans and getting out into the community. They're big on this Stand Together, a community outreach program that they have where the players are going out to the fans and they're doing volunteer work. And that's such a big part of it, Glenn, where the fans, they feel like when they go on game day, already talked about the culture, they're waiting in line, but then when they see Diego Valeri go and score a goal, they feel like they know him, and so they're celebrating with him. And so that goes through the entire crew, and so the type of player that they bring in, that's a huge part of it, that they're cheering for this guy, not only because they're talented, they provide a good brand, but they feel like they know him to a certain extent.
Can I stop you on Valeri for a second? Because
yeah, of course.
Because there's something that I want to lead you into, because I want to hear your response. Because my understanding is that guy does as many appearances as anybody. As a rookie, it doesn't matter. That guy is out there. He's a bona fide star. He could be the league MVP, okay? And he's out at youth soccer fields. That guy's everywhere, okay? That guy's community-based. Tell me a little bit about him and how he's embraced that. I mean, he's not doing the, hey, don't bother me, I'm a 21-goal scorer.
Yeah.
That guy's out there.
Yeah. You're entirely right. And, you know, if you take the situation of Valeri, a couple weeks ago, to go watch the U.S.-Panama game, there's an indoor soccer futsal place called Rose City Futsal here in Portland. And I went on a Friday to go watch with a couple of pals. And there he is at the futsal. He's watching his daughter, Connie. She's playing. And 5 o'clock on a Friday, an amount of people going up to him, just asking him for an autograph, asking to shake his hand. It's a celebrity. Of course it is. But his mannerisms, with it all, he's appreciative of the situation that he's in. He's appreciative of how kind people are as well. People are very respectful, come say hello, but they're not looking to bend his ear. They're recognizing he wants to watch his daughter train. And so that's something where he's off the clock, but he's still the same person as when he's wearing the Portland Timbers gear and he's representing the brand. He's representing the brand all the time. And I think guys recognize that, especially Diego Valeri. You're out in the community, you're a face, you're recognized wherever you go. And there's responsibility that comes with it. And so I think they've done a good job, the Timbers, bringing in guys who want to embrace that as well, who want to...
You see, I don't feel like we know players here. I don't feel like we know Albert Feliz deep enough, or Ramel Kyoto. And,
really?
You know, I can only... I think there's incredible stories there. And Vicente Sanchez, I mean, I don't even think half of Houston, outside of people that are Liga MX fans, understand who this man is at 37 years of age, doing what he's doing. They don't know that he played in Germany in the Bundesliga. They don't know they played in the World Cup with Uruguay. They don't know as a young man he was a part of a 1-2 punch with Jose Cardoso at Toluca. That was one of the most revered in the history of the Mexican Soccer League, and Toluca won all these titles. These are amazing stories.
That's amazing. And that, Glenn, I mean, my curiosity with Houston, you know, it sounds like they're not doing those sort of community appearances as much. Would that be fair to say out in Houston? Because when you ask for transparency and where the connection is, I think that's such a huge part of it here.
Well, I understand coaches and general managers and Wilmer Cabrera and Matt Jordan, and, you know, you're focused on winning games, but... You know, Wilmer Cabrera called the franchise ill and sick when he took the job. And ill and sick means that your relevancy is down, that your attendance is down, and that, you know, the way to build it back is first get the product in line. And he's done a masterful job with that. Matt Jordan's done a great job with that in revamping this roster into something that's incredibly interesting. But I'm like, let's get full value out of this baby. We got stories to tell. And let's get DeMarcus Beasley out there, a guy that's played in 4 World Cups. And we want to hear from DeMarcus. We want to hear from Vicente. We want to hear from the big guys. We don't want to just hear from the newbies, but we want to hear from them too. We want to tell their story, because you know what? They may be the next, if I can relate it to baseball, the next Jose Altuve. I don't know who's, by the way, is a Real Madrid fan. So Barcelona fans, read it and weep. Altuve is a Real Madrid fan, all right? So put that in your pipe and smoke it, Barcelona fans. All right, Ross, so I'm back to you. Tell me about Sunday, because I think because of all the injuries that are going on, I think this is really stirring this one up. I think this is a little uncomfortable for Portland.
And I heard you before, just saying the pressure, I think I agree with you. It's at Providence Park where the Timbers have shown very well this season. I think the pressure's on them, but they're also looking at it with those injuries. So what we know, Diego Chara, he's out with a broken fifth metatarsal from the first leg. Fernando Adi, of course, is still out. He was down in L.A. seeing a specialist for his injury on his hamstring. The questionable players are David Guzman, still Mabiala, who was injured in the game, and Darwinton Nagbe, his calf. And so I think that's going to be a big part, play a big, big part with who's going to feature. I think the aggregate, the away goal, plays a big, big part, as you were talking about. The first goal is going to be so important. But I think what you're going to have is two teams that will want to go for it, because that's what the instructions are from the managers. Caleb Porter's never been one to sit in, like what we saw with the Whitecaps in the Seattle Sounders game. Hopefully, it should be a different story tonight.
Oh, my God. That was better than no-dos.
Oh, yeah. And Wilmer Cabrera, I think, going on his post-games, and you'll know more than me, Glenn, but I think he wants to see his players express themselves. He wants to see them get it to the flair players and them to do their thing. So he wants the pressure with who's going to be available. And with the quality that's hopefully going to be on the pitch, I think it could be a great one, and I don't know which way to predict it. I think it's such a tough one because the talent and options that the Houston Dynamo have up front is frightening, and the depth that they have in those front four positions, I mean, it's amongst the best in the league. And so the Timbers on their day, though, as well, I think they're up there. So I'm hoping that it's a good brand. I'm hoping it's a good advertisement for the league as we continue to say that, and hopefully you catch on fans. But to predict which way it will go, I don't know how you feel. I find it so tough to get a gut feeling and a read of which way it will go.
Yeah, I would have been a little bit more leaning towards the Timbers, obviously. But with this injury situation, I mean, Chara, to me, is such a big part of that team who gets overlooked, I think, by a lot of people because of what he does to allow others to attack and the ground that he covers and the decisions that he makes. I mean, he's a spectacular player.
Glenn, I'm so glad you say that. And a part of it goes to, again, the relationships that people feel they have with the players. But take that aside, because he's a top, top person, as great as he is a player. But for me, he almost makes it the position he plays, whether it's number six, number eight, whatever role, he makes it attractive. And there's an appreciation of what he does. And I think the player, N'Golo Kante, the Leicester City, then Chelsea player, I think he really brought a lot of attention to that, the Claude Makélélés back in the day, that there's a certain sexiness about that position. And Diego Chara is the Kante. He's the Makélélé of this Portland Timbers team. And the guys know it. He's the heartbeat. I don't think there's a better player in the league that can break up plays, that can protect the back four. And I don't think there's a better player that can get his team going forwards in transition, the pace that he has, and his ability to pick the right times to go. So I agree with you on every level, and I think it's a big, big miss. But as Caleb Porter says, it's next person up, and I thought Amobi Okugo, I was impressed with him when he came in. Now, he's not going to give you the levels of Diego Chara, but he's going to give you a level of aggression, of assuredness, of certainty. But again, you're always going to miss. Any team will miss Diego Chara.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I love watching the guy. The other thing I like about him, he's very similar to Boniac Garcia in Houston. He smiles a lot. The guy smiles a lot when he plays.
Yeah,
I absolutely love that. I mean, God, playing in front of those crowds in Portland day after day, week after week, it's like a dream come true, I got to tell you. But he is feisty as well, and he's going to be really missed. Stretchered off in the first game for the Dynamo. Last one before I let you go, and I need it real quick, Ross. Is that position, the number six position now, I think it's almost as coveted now as goal scorers, right? I mean, it's become such a fulcrum and big piece of assembling teams.
Yeah, I agree. I heard a talk from a representative of the Premiership, and they talked about what they drill into their players and the teams across there is that three blocks, defensive blocks, is equal to a goal in their mind. That's the value they put on it. So those three defensive blocks you're getting in the way is equal to it. And I think it's very important with that position. I think the fullbacks, I heard you, I forget what outlet, but I heard you talking about the fullbacks of Vitas and Powell. And I couldn't have agreed with you more. I thought they were sensational against two players who are two of the top players in this league, Kyoto and Elise. And the job they did on those guys, they'll need to do that again in order to keep Houston Dynamo off the score sheet.
Those two guys were my MVPs for Portland in that game because they handled those two at home as good as anybody has all year long. I mean, I think it would be fair to say they marked them both out of the game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I agree wholeheartedly with you. And they'll need that again, I feel like Elise and Kyoto will be foaming at the mouth to get the better of them.
Yeah, and they're going to be a little bit more rested this time. So I love watching Kyoto, Elise, and all these attacking players from the Dynamo. It's been a great turnaround for them. It's going to be a great game with Portland. Ross, as always, have a good call on the game. Thank you very much for coming on the show and giving us some real good insight into the Timbers and the game on Sunday.
Oh, my pleasure, Glenn. Always fun to chat to you. Everything related with soccer. Thanks for having me on.
He's a great guy. Ross Smith, great analyst as well for the Portland Timbers. He's living large in the Rose City. Our thanks to Kings Court. Game-watching party, 6:30 Sunday. I'm going to be there. Hope you're going to be there as well. Get down there. We'll drink some Bud Lights. The gorgeous Gale will also be showing the game in the Premier League this weekend. There's some great Premier League games coming up. Azure Salon, they take care of... It's AzureSalon.com, AzureSalon.com. Ladies, men, best place to get a haircut. Liberty Kitchen, we thank them and the Beer Garden over in Garden Oaks. Get over there. Our good friend Carl Eves and Lance Fegan. Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture and Jan Christensen. DaspitLaw.com, John Daspit, personal injury attorney. Fight for your right for compensation. 713-496-0393. Bilingual. Truck, car, boat, refinery, you name it. If you've got a problem, it's DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit, we thank all these great sponsors of this show, including The Flat. And when I come back, my good friend DJ Sun Andre, we have our TheFlatHouston.com Song and Artist of the Week. And by the way, they've got some of the best frosty drinks over there, as well as local DJs. DJs coming through town, some of the best vibes over at theflathouston.com. We'll take a break. More to come, including Steve Davis of 442.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back. There's always room for the Rolling Stones. Imagine how many stadiums this song has been played in over and over, Tyler Scott. Imagine?
Probably a lot.
Stones get residuals for this?
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah, they need more money. Those guys are in a rough financial place, the Rolling Stones. How much is enough, right? Jeez. All right, welcome back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. DaspitLaw.com, we thank them. We also thank Bud Light for all their support of this program. They've done it for a number of years. Our good friend Camila Rojas, we do thank them. They remind you that getting together with friends is very important. And it's not just about, it's about the moment that you're in with friends that matter. It's not just the beverage and the beer. It's best served cold. Swing by your friend's apartment, head to the bar for happy hour, make sure you go, grab some ice cold Bud Lights, make sure tonight is tomorrow, because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beer, you're building friendships. Bud Light, proud sponsor, official beer of the Houston Dynamo and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. With that, we bring in 442 writer. He's been around covering Major League Soccer, covering the game of soccer. Outstanding career. He's a good friend, Steve Davis, joining us now. Steve, thank you very much for coming on.
Howdy, Glenn.
Good to have you on. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, by the way, I have friends to this day. Yeah. Who will only drink Bud Light, they say, because, hey, they've always sponsored soccer. I'm gonna drink Bud Light.
That's awesome. No, that's...
It is awesome. It's great.
It is the truth, and They put money behind this radio show when nobody was putting money behind a soccer program. So it is awesome. Budweiser, as a whole, have been huge supporters way, way back for the game, as you know. All right, so I want to take you into tonight's game. Seattle and Vancouver, I want to take you back to the first game and the manager, Carl Robinson, who I like and who's a great interview. But he comes out after the game and he said, mission accomplished. We didn't have any shots on goal, but we didn't give up a road goal, and we're going back to Seattle. Does that stun you a little bit? And what should 25,000 fans in Vancouver think about that?
Yeah, not going to lie. It was kind of tough watching that game. You know, we all...
kind of? No dose.
I'm like a lot of people. I just kind of check out of the game, just get on social media, and just kind of start making fun of the game. I don't know, Glenn. You know, what does it say to the fans? Look, Seattle is a team that spends a lot of money. You know, if you look, you know, a lot of the teams around Major League Soccer, they went and got a player over the summer, you know, summer transfer window, you know, got a player to kind of fill in a position, maybe plug a hole that created by injury. Seattle got four players and three pretty good ones, either through trade or the international transfer window. So look, Seattle, you know, is a team that's very aggressive with their spending. So there's Vancouver. Now, you know, they're a little bit more spendthrift, right? So, you know, maybe you have to do it, approach things a different way. Is it great for the neutral fan, like me and you, watching from Texas? No. If you're in Vancouver and you know that you've got a pretty good record at CenturyLink, and you know that if you go in there and you can 1-1 the game, you're going through. Is that okay? Because, look, at the end of the day, Carl Robinson, he's not trying to please us. He doesn't have any obligation to please us. His obligation is to create the most successful Vancouver Whitecaps he can. And in that regard, it sure would have been better if they were up 1-0, 2-0, or, you know, kind of like Columbus is in their series with NYCFC. But
Steve, hold on. You've got Yuri Arena, and you've got the former Seattle Sounder, Freddie Montero. And I totally understand where you're coming from, because you're taking us into the mind of the manager.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm sorry. To try and win at home and be proactive, to me, is sacrilegious.
I don't totally disagree with you. What I will say is, if you watch Vancouver's games, and I know you did, probably did some of them, you know, look, their team this year, you know, they won about possession. They had the lowest possession in the league, right? They were about being tough in the back and then going direct. That was their style. So I don't think you change it for the playoffs. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but I guess what I'm saying is there is room for some diversity, and if that's what you've got to do to get through the playoffs.
Is it an indictment on the playoff setup?
No, I don't see.
Would you change it?
If that's an indictment on the playoff setup, you know, what about the game in Atlanta? There was, you know, the first round game there. That was just bonkers. It was great.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hit or miss.
We've had a lot of bad ones too.
Yeah. No. Sometimes we look at the playoff setup and we want to pick out these bad games and say, "Well, there you go. The playoff setup is bad." And look, there's definitely some holes with it, some things that I'd like to change. But I'm saying if you're going to take the bad ones and hold them up as an example of why the playoff format doesn't work, you can't just say that you can't just look at the good games and say, "Oh, well, that one doesn't count." You got to think about those too, because there's some good games in the playoffs as well.
But then if Vancouver wants a date with Seattle. And I guess Vancouver ended up in a higher place in the standings than them, right?
No.
Seattle pimped them, right? That's right. Okay. Yeah, so if they wanted a date in Seattle at CenturyLink, let's just go to a one game, higher seed gets the game, and let's go from there. And I know you're going to say, well, what about revenue? I get it, but would we be better off?
What about revenue? I get it. It's important, but also I like the two game series because I think you build interest, you build a little momentum. You know, hey, look,
that game
we're in Texas, man. We're talking about it.
That game built interest. That game's a detriment to me. That drives that gives the MLS naysayer more opportunity to criticize the league, in my opinion.
Okay, well, fair enough. But what's the old PR saying? There is no bad publicity. What I'm saying here, man, look, and again, I'm not totally disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I'm giving you the other side here. What I'm saying is here we are, you and I, Glenn Davis, Steve Davis, brothers in soccer. We're in Texas. we're talking about a game that's a 3.5 hour plane ride away. So what I'm saying is, by a 2-game series, you do build a conversation. Maybe it's bad conversation, but you build conversation. You build awareness, and I think Major League Soccer still could use some of that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Real quick before I let you go, and I'm sorry, this is flying by pretty quickly here.
No worries.
I know you put an article out about the field situations, the quality of fields and all. Just some of your overall thoughts on what occurred in Houston. And is that damaging? What does it tell
you? It was not a good look. That game, and it created a bad quality on the field. And that's a problem. And the field, as it gets into the fall, has been a problem going back to the first year. I remember walking out on the field with Dominic Kinnear and him talking to me about it. And he's him saying, you think I like it this way? And so what I was trying to do with that article is remind everybody that, man, we've come so far. Glenn, you know we've come so far in this game. We still got a long way to go. And this is one of the things, and I was just kind of giving everybody the background and perspective of, you know, when you tune into a game, sometimes you see football lines because 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when that contract was hammered out to build a stadium, when nobody was building stadiums, or not very many people, they had to agree to play a few football games for the school district or for, you know, in your case, down in Houston for TSU. Yep. So that's the history of it, and it's not perfect. We're not there yet. But the good news is, because of situations like Houston and, you know, in Dallas, you know, now the game is built to the point where you can build a stadium in Orlando. The city leaders there have the leverage, and they don't have to include, you know, high school football games. Right. So it grows, and it gets better. And I'm just telling everybody, it gets better.
Great piece you did. It's 442. It's Steve Davis. Before I let you go, real quick, and you only got 10 seconds, does it affect and hurt the authenticity of the game in this country, the poor surface?
It's not a good look. It hurts the aesthetic of the game, yes.
Steve, tell us where we can get your writings again. 442.
442. We got a radio show at ESPN in Dallas, 103.3, and do some broadcast work for FC Dallas as well. Steve Davis 90 on Twitter.
He's doing it all. He's the best. Check out his radio show. He's a color analyst for FC Dallas. And get over to 442. He's Steve Davis. Steve, thanks for the conversation tonight.
Love talking soccer with you, Glenn.
He's the best. Steve Davis. We'll take a break. More to come in the second hour. Lots of interviews around the corner, including Dynamo defender Jahlil Anibaba. Kings Court, big show. Dynamo Portland on Sunday. The Gorgeous Gale, Azure Salon, Bud Light, Liberty Kitchen, Danish Inspirations, DaspitLaw.com. Thank you for your support of Soccer on the Radio. When we come back, more to come. Lots of soccer talk here. Best in soccer talk, ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.